Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. It is your sportsman, your sports bros. I'm Rob. That's Big Sook right over there. And look at Schultzy back in the saddle, sounding a little, you know,
a little under the weather.
It's like Steph Curry recovering, but he's back. Chucking up threes, baby.
Appreciate you guys. I'm trying. I'm not going to be Wally Pipped, damn it. All right? I'm going to get here. I'm going to perform.
Okay. All right.
Best ability?
You called availability. You were like, Schultzy will be here tomorrow.
Schultzy's not missing 2 days in a row. No.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy.
No. Rob gets the flu. We're minimum 3 days.
Bro, I ain't coming back till I'm ready.
No.
Okay.
The schnitzel wolf, he'll fight through it.
Well, yeah. In these circumstances, absolutely. If it were different, I don't know.
Someone texted and said 7 SEC teams in the top 14 is a joke. Might I ask why that's a joke?
Yeah, who do you want ahead of them?
Yeah. Is there anyone not deserving?
Yeah, you tell me who you want. A&M, Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss. Who? Who do you want to say isn't there? Texas, Oklahoma?
Here are the 7. Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Texas A&M.
I like when you do the whistle at the end.
It's kind of hard to do, but Texas,
I enjoy Texas. It.
I love Texas.
Yeah.
I love Texas. Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M, Texas, Ole Miss, bloop. Boy! Who are the other two? Vanderbilt and Oklahoma.
So you're telling me that if you're all pissy and moany about this, what you think USC?
Right.
You think what Louisville?
Right.
Like, I understand that it sucks for you that you hate the SEC, and I get why you hate them. They're pompous. They're douchey. I totally get it. But again, make a case. Make a case for one of those teams that's so much better. You can't.
I mean, I could make a case for...
You can make a case for Virginia, for God's sakes. Utah, stop
no,
it.
I could maybe make a case for Miami to be ahead of Vanderbilt.
Maybe.
But that's about it.
Well, like, again, BYU's ahead of some of those teams. I promise you that if BYU played those teams, they would be a touchdown underdog to every single one of them.
You know what's interesting?
And I went to BYU.
I read that Notre Dame, there are only two teams that would be favored over Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's Vegas. That's not.
Yeah, that's Vegas. Yeah, you know. They're saying Notre Dame is damn good, even though they're the 9 seed. So we were talking about this earlier. But if the playoffs started today, Notre Dame would be at Oregon, at Autzen.
Which would be phenomenal.
It'd be amazing. First time since 1982. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's a really scary game for Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather play, like, of the teams that they could play as the 9 seed coming into Autzen. I'm looking. I'd rather, I mean, I think it'd be fun if Cristobal came.
Cristobal would be fun. I think the Texas Tech game would be fun because I think that would be a lot like, I know that their defense would give you problems, but I think your defense would give them a ton of problems as well. I think that would be a fun game. I don't think Texas.
That'd be a great game.
I don't think Texas. In fact, I'll tell you right now, if Texas or Oklahoma came, I think Oregon handles both of those teams. I would love to see either one of those because I think that's a favorable matchup for
Texas.
Oregon.
What if Oregon? So if you look at their path right now, and again, a lot can change.
Sure.
But it's kind of fun to think that they could play Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
If you get by Notre Dame, and like I said, Vegas would favor Notre Dame in that game, even at Autzen. You get by them, you would play Ohio State.
Yeah, which... You know,
you get by them, you would play the winner of Georgia, Alabama, most likely. And you get by them, you would have the other side,
A&M, Indiana,
maybe A&M or Indiana.
Something like that.
Can you imagine Oregon winning a championship with 4 wins over Notre Dame, Ohio State, Alabama, and Texas A&M.
I've kind of come full circle.
And by the way, that would not happen. They would not get through that.
Yeah. I have
not come, this year.
I have come full circle. I thought going into the year that Oregon was a playoff team with, if you told me, more likely to end up out of the playoff or win a national title, I would say out of the playoff. But I thought they were a 10-2 team and they were going to make the playoffs. Early in the year, I thought that Oregon looked as good as anyone in the country. And I was like, you know what? Oregon's got a shot at this. And as the season has rolled on and injuries have taken their toll, and I think the offense has come back down to earth a little bit, I think that Oregon is still a year away. I think next year's Oregon team will be better than this year's team. And no, I do not believe, especially with the injuries they have, I do not believe Oregon is capable of going through Notre Dame, Ohio State, Alabama, and Indiana. On neutral fields, I do not believe that that is a real possibility.
So this is what kind of sucks, and it's kind of the dirty little secret of the playoff, mm-hmm. is that it's not unlike it was before. Even though these matchups are great.
It favors...
Dude, there are... Yeah. Okay. I just named the four types of teams that you're going to have to go through mm-hmm. if you don't get a bye to win the tournament. Yeah. Okay, and Ohio State did that last year.
Yeah.
They beat Tennessee, mm-hmm. Oregon, Texas, and Notre Dame. Amazing. And so how many teams in this year's college football are capable of a four-game run like that? I think there are four.
Yeah.
I think Ohio State.
Yeah.
Alabama, believe it or not, I think Notre Dame, and I believe, I'm now a believer that Texas A&M could do it. Sure. I think they have both sides of the ball to be able to do that. I don't think they will, but they could. Everybody else, the Oregons, the Texas Techs,
yeah.
the Ole Miss, I'm even putting Georgia in this category. There's something about their defense this year. Texas, Oklahoma... No, Indiana, I don't think any of them can run a four-game slate like that.
No, I will say, too, that this version that we're seeing now, it's harder than ever to win a national title, and I really do think you have to be really deep, and that favors the top 10 recruiters, which it always favored because top-end talent, but I think when you look now, let's take where, you know, for example, where Oregon's at right now. Oregon is having a string of injuries. And yet they're going to be able to keep this thing together because they recruit really well. And as you go along with this, go back to the year that Ohio State won a national title with Cardale Jones. That was what, their four-string quarterback? You can't. I remember when Oregon was down to, was it Braxton Burmeister, who was their third-string yep. quarterback? My God, the guy couldn't throw the ball. Like just most play Texas Tech, when they don't have Morton, when they don't have their quarterback, dude, it goes rough. We've seen when Alabama really, believe it or not, only has one real running back, Jam Miller, and when he's out, their run game doesn't look very good. Ohio State last year, when they were suffering through some O-line injuries, it was like, God, can they get it together? Yes, because it was Ohio State, and those guys kind of rally. Schools like Texas Tech, for the most part, and kind of like the lesser schools, Indiana's one of these, you just can't sustain the injuries, nor week to week to week do you have the depth to undertake the rigors of this. So it really does, believe it or not, even though there's more access for teams, it more so favors the same five or six teams even more so now than it did in the old system.
One other thing too, if Oregon, again, all hypos, but if Oregon were to win that first game at Autzen,
yeah.
right now they would slide into a game against Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wondering where that game would be, well, we don't know yet, but Ohio State would be the number one seed.
Yeah.
And they also, I'm not exactly sure how they do it, but I do think that there is an element of traditional bowl relationships, historic bowl relationships with regards to the team and what bowl will host their game.
Sure.
In other words, Ohio State as the number one seed could be shipped out to LA and that game would be at the Rose Bowl.
Boy, that would be interesting.
Because the four quarterfinal hosts.
It's the New Year's Six Bowls.
Yeah, the four quarterfinal hosts this year are Cotton Bowl in Dallas, the Orange Bowl in Miami, the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans, and the Rose Bowl in LA. So if Oregon were to play Ohio State, it would be in one of those four cities, and it depends on who they pair with each bowl.
I wonder if Ohio State would have a problem with,
they might.
With having to go on to go play at
because
the Rose Bowl.
Because it's the traditional Big Ten Rose Bowl pairing, but at the same time, now they're saying, wait a minute, we just got the number one seed,
and now we have
to go all the way out west to play these guys who are from out west?
That'd be interesting. Yeah, because, you know, do you take the traditional matchup or do you give Ohio State more of the geographical advantage? But there's really nothing in the Midwest.
Well, right? You have New Orleans, who would probably get the Alabama.
You would think, right? The old Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, probably get Alabama. And then you have A&M, Dallas.
Dallas.
And then you have Miami. Yeah, and that would be, who's the, oh, Indiana.
Indiana.
Maybe have to go there.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I guess I hadn't given much thought to how they select those.
I don't know exactly how they, where they slot those or how, but I know that, I know that I've read that there are traditional bowl relationships factor into that.
I think I remember seeing
in
that
geography,
too.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Long way to go. You got Minnesota coming into town. Like, you can't take anything
on Friday, too. Friday night lights.
Can't take anything
for granted. Supposed to be crappy weather again. Can we get a decent game, a decent weather game so Oregon can throw the ball?
Hey, Big Ten in November, man. Yeah.
It was confirmed today. I saw Dante Moore did indeed break his nose.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw that he gave a little, because they don't talk about injuries.
Ouchie.
But yeah, they said he did break his nose. And he said he was worried, but then they were no surgery, nothing.
He's going to be healthy. He'll be out there, but is like Sadiq back?
So
is Moore back?
They are so weird about injuries. It doesn't sound like any of them are season ending. It sounds like Sadiq and Harkey are more of a day-to-day. It is my understanding from at least whispers that I've heard that Moore is not a DeCorian Moore, not obviously Dante Moore, who's fine. Dude, no one sits out with a broken nose. He could have gone back into the game. DeCorian Moore is not season ending, but DeCorian Moore is probably not a week long injury. This may be one of those, he's not done for the year, but you may not see him again until playoff time. I think that's the one that maybe is a little more serious, but again, it's so hard to tell because no one will say anything. So you just kind of have to listen to whispers.
Is Oregon headed towards Sturtville?
I do not believe so. I don't think Minnesota is capable
of
beating
them. Sturtville.
But when you're talking about being down that many players at one position group, that is problematic. Harkey's not a big deal. Their O-line has depth and played really well against Iowa. I do think you have a good backup tight end. Anyways, you have massive depth at running back. You can lean on that run game. But I do think against better teams, look, let's be honest, if Iowa had any semblance of an offense, you would have been in some serious trouble. You need to get some bodies healthy on the outside, or at least have some of those guys kind of take a step forward. And maybe Evan Stewart comes back at some point, you know? So that's – if you're going to get ultimately where you want to go, you've got to have – better receiver play.
That whole injury around mysteries has to go away, right? With betting and the prominence that it's at. And
well, there's injury reports, but
They're not accurate. That's what I'm saying, is the accuracy of these injury reports. Is this not going to change? We're talking about like possibly ending prop bets. We're trying to figure out a way to make this all above board for sports betting, yet this is allowed? I just never have understood that.
You're talking about for college football?
Yeah, specifically the mystifying answers. Well, you know, we'll let you know when there's an update, and then they don't have to on a player.
It's an interesting question. My answer to that would be, I think that if you are in the know, mm-hmm. And word spreads, I feel like people know who's playing and who, you know, like these coaches play coy.
Yeah.
But by Friday and certainly game day,
you know,
most people know who's in and who's out.
Yes.
And I think it's easier to keep it all a little more under wraps in an NFL environment. Now the NFL, they have to like that. That is a,
yeah.
They have to put guys on the injury. Who didn't somebody just get in trouble for that?
Bunch of people get.
Oh, it was the Ravens with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
So the NFL, they don't mess around with it, and most teams do comply even though they don't want to. In college, you're right. These coaches do. They're like, well, I don't know. But it's such a regional. There's so many people that know things that word gets out on who is playing and who isn't playing. Mm-hmm. I bet you if you talked to a Vegas odds maker, they would tell you it's not a problem for them.
Yeah, that they have a way of figuring these things out.
Yeah, they know. And people betting for a living know.
And I know people that are close to the program that they do, they it's it, for whatever reason, it's a very guarded secret. The people that are in the know, and if you poke around, you may not get the exact answer, but sometimes you kind of get more of a a wink or a nod or you know, kind of one of those. And I think Vegas has enough of those insiders for major, for like you said, for major schools. But yes,
it would just be my answer to that. I don't know that that's true, but it seems like in college football, it's too leaky. Yes. People know what's up.
So that is, and I haven't heard anything necessarily on Gary Bryant Jr. It is my understanding that Sadiq and Harkey will be back sooner rather than later, maybe even Friday. DeCorian Moore, not season ending, but not, I wouldn't expect to see him over the next week or two. How about that?
How about that? How about that?
And I think
you
it's
like that.
And I think at some point people are talking that Evan Stewart could come back at some point this year. I don't think he's just gone.
Can you imagine Evan Stewart, DeCorian Moore?
It would be a huge shot.
Kenyon Sadiq.
Yeah, if they all kind of came.
Jesus.
Yeah, if they came back at some point.
I do think, and this is probably another segment. Maybe we can have it tomorrow. But in Minnesota, it might not matter. Didn't matter against Iowa. But when you're playing two back, two tight end sets, you know, everybody's talking about your offense sucks. Well, they're kind of limited right now.
Yeah.
You know, and then the weather as well.
Yeah.
So if you talk about games in better weather with a full complement of weapons, mm-hmm. I think the offense magically will look a lot better.
Sure. Let's go up there. The nice part is that you have a steady stream of backs that you can just turn around and hand the ball off to. And
you can win in multiple ways. Yeah,
for all the crap that people talk about the offense against Iowa, they ran the ball for like 6.5-7 yards a carry against a heavy box team, like, and was one of, if not the best run defense in the country. I mean,
well, they're grinding it out, but let's not act like their offense is, you know, and I think they're also a little bit of a victim of their own success in that people think of Oregon as like this huge high-flying 50-point offense. Yeah. They're just not.
No, this team right now is built on defense and running the football.
But I think their offense could get better.
Yes.
They just need to get healthy, open some things up, and then maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe some sunshine for heaven's sakes.
Yeah. I will say you have a quarterback that when given time and is comfortable back there can make any throw. See the throw down the seam there to Benson.
No question.
That basically won them the game.
And so when Moore's out and Sadiq's out and it's sideways raining,
it's hard.
You can't make those. I mean, you got to be careful. So I think that, you know, the number is that the top they've played five top 50 defenses this year, and they are averaging just 22 points a game.
It's not amazing.
That is not very Oregon-like, and that is that's where all eyes are, not necessarily on Friday, but that's where eyes are going to be, particularly against USC. You should be able to score against USC and against your Homer team. The Huskies. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Jed Fish gave the dreaded press conference of, I don't want to go anywhere for now. It was the most unconvincing press conference.
For now?
Well, it just...
Do we have the audio?
I don't know if someone dumped it in or not. I listened to about 1.5-2 minutes of it, and he stood at the podium and tried to do the, I don't know where people get this stuff from, but I'm telling you, like, body language, and he's not the most charismatic guy, but I'm telling you, it is some of the, if I'm a UW fan, that is the least convincing 2 minutes of audio I've ever heard about.
I want to hear it.
Yeah. Schulte,
he's out of there.
Will you see if we can?
I think I got it.
Yeah. He's just like, I don't know how many.
Is this it right here?
People that have no idea what's going on. Yeah. Honestly, they don't know what's happening in our program. They have no idea how excited I am about the youth in our program. They have no idea how excited I am about the fact that we're playing 6 or 7 true freshmen. No idea how excited I am about the fact that Damon Williams, I believe, has a chance over the next year or 2 years after this to be one of the all-time best quarterbacks that have come through this area. I don't think that they would know how I enjoy coaching here, that we've spent a ton of money into building this program the way we want to build it, that I had a great hand in all the facilities. I was a big part of making the decisions on how we wanted to recreate this space to give our players an unbelievable opportunity to have a recovery room that they never had, working on making sure that they have the best nutrition they could possibly have, give them great new meeting rooms, new office spaces for our coaches. I think, unfortunately, what happens is they just want to tie coaches to lists, and then we have to sit there and defend it rather than just be able to just tell our fans, like, our players, our coaching staff, myself, my family, we love coaching at the University of Washington. and the ridiculousness of people that want to claim that because my wife and daughters are living in Arizona, because I have a 16-year-old who's been in 5 different schools in the last 8 years to finish her high school, has anything to do with my decision, or the ridiculousness of just putting my name on a list just to do it. Only that does affect recruiting. It affects our team. It affects our staff. And my hope is that our players, our coaches, our families understand how much we love it at Washington.
And at nowhere in there did you simply say, I'm going to be here and I'm not going anywhere. Again, you get these coaches that give these long, rambling answers as opposed to, yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. I the more a coach talks about how much he loves it at a place and why he would stay without saying he's going to stay, I'm telling you, that Jed Fish thing just doesn't feel right.
Wasn't Lanning last week, was that with Eisen?
Yeah, he shut it down in like 2 seconds.
Where he just said, zero.
Zero.
Yeah, he said, yeah, that's right. He just goes zero.
Yeah, not going anywhere.
Well, what was the question, though? He asked him.
Something about like your name popping up at the LSU job or whatever. And, you know, he just was like, yeah, no,
zero.
Zero. Zero.
That's all you have to say. It doesn't take 2 minutes.
Jed Fish, 2 minutes of, they don't know how much I love coaching here and my family not living here. And by the way, your wife and kids have had to move so much because you move every 2 years. And yet you're upset that your name is on a list. You know, you could get your name off a list. You could do a Dan Lanning and simply say, I'm not going anywhere. But you didn't. You gave a rambling 2-minute monotone answer.
Yeah, he's getting annoyed. You can tell.
Yeah, it's just, it's a weird vibe up there. And they're having a nice year. But, you know, that loss they had to Wisconsin is, that's a real, that's going to be in a lot of people's bonnet. They had no business losing that game. And it just, it's very inconsistent. And yes, they're young. But again, there's some more excuses about like kind of the freshman thing. I don't buy it. I just don't buy that he is the long-term guy there.
Okay, way over. NFL tidbits coming up next on The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Another good point on the text line about Jed Fish and his comments about wanting to be at Washington, sort of, is he didn't address this until they had an embarrassing loss and the fan base fully turned against them.
Yes.
So the same person says he seems like someone planning on leaving but not sure he has a landing spot.
Well, and again, the wife, it is my understanding, and if I'm wrong, then I apologize to Jed Fish, but again, it is my understanding that his family moved there and then moved away. This wasn't like they stuck behind in Seattle. And there are many people that are in that program that do not love the fact that his wife is a social media influencer that supposedly, and I've seen a couple of them, and I don't know if it would go as far as to say be critical of the Seattle weather. She posts a lot about loving the sun in Arizona and not a whole lot about, you know, the rain, and talks about how when she's in Seattle, she has to have the vitamin injections and like sun therapy treatments.
Bro,
and
I can't blame her for that one bit.
She's an Arizona hot that supposedly it's not a big secret that she does not want to be in Seattle. And I think that that is a really, really.
Well, he did say that in there.
Yeah.
I mean, he said,
well, our family loves it, you know.
Well, no, he didn't say that. He just said, just because my family lives in Arizona doesn't mean I don't want to be here. So, I mean, that's, you know, what else can he say about that? He's like, my daughter's moved a bunch, so we put her back in a high school that she's used. I don't know.
I don't buy it.
But, I don't know that I buy what he's selling either. But he's always been this way. Like, yeah. You know, it's like if you're fooled by Jed Smith? Jed Fish at this point.
He's got a mustache and goes by Jed Smith?
Joke's on you, man. The guy's, you know, a leopard doesn't change his spots. Is that the right analogy?
Yes. It's just, tiger can't change his stripes. Leopard can't change his spots. He's just all that.
He's a schmarmy.
He wears his little visor and
football. He's probably going to UCLA. Seriously, he's going to UCLA. Yeah,
we'll see.
Because UCLA can't get anyone else. And then and he gets to LA. He gets to a big recruiting market. I think he coached there before, maybe went there or something.
Yeah, I think he was an OC.
Yeah, so he's going to UCLA. Yeah. You watch.
You watch. Calling it here first.
It's not hard to see.
Just does. They always say when you got a guy, you feel, and it's not always accurate, but you have a good feeling when you hire a guy. It's like, hey, we got the right guy. And when you hire the wrong one, it feels that way. And despite some success, it just doesn't feel like that is a good pairing.
Okay, we will have the fastest NFL niblets of all time.
Ooh, I like some niblets. Some corn niblets.
Travis Hunter is done for the season.
Which,
rest in peace.
Which, by the way, can we...
ACL.
LCL.
LCL.
ACL's fine. But this idea that he was going to be this Shohei Ohtani... You cannot play both ways in the NFL. And by the way, he was not having a very good season. He's had one real productive game at receiver. He's been a spot player on defense, and he couldn't make it through one season. And he's a thinly built guy, and there were people out there trying to tell you that he was going to play 100 snaps a game plus in the NFL. Get the F out of here. When he comes back, whether it's receiver or DB, if that team doesn't pull their head out of their ass and tell him, I'm sorry, you are picking one or the other, or we're going to pick it for you, and we're going to try to get you through a season. That was one of the most foolish narratives I've heard coming out of the draft that people were buying into.
Joe Burrow is back at practice.
Yeah.
Could be back by Thanksgiving. Cincinnati.
They're 3-6 in that division. Yeah. Like, Baltimore is going to win that division. And even if Joe Burrow comes back, like, remember, Joe Flacco has actually been good there.
Yeah, it's their defense.
It's their defense.
The but they, you know, you think about it, dude. If I didn't know Burrow would be back this soon, is this shocking to anyone else?
They were talking around Christmas time or January. So, I mean, and he's not back. He's just practicing. So he may be back a couple weeks sooner, but.
Okay, well, if they didn't lose to the Jets.
Which they had no business losing.
And the Bears, which they didn't have. They had no business losing to the Bears. They came back and won that game.
Then this would still be.
Then they would be, what, 5-4?
And in a catbird position in that
and
division.
Weathering the storm until Joe Burrow came back.
I would just like to point out that whether Burrow comes back or not, their last, however, you know, their losses since Flacco came over, 24 against the Lions. 18 against the Packers, 33 against the Steelers, 38 against the Jets, 42 against the Bears. It is not their offense that is the problem. They have no defense to speak of, and poor Joe Burrow coming back will not make a difference.
But hey, they get Aaron Rodgers this week, so that ought to help.
Look, Baltimore is winning that division. So,
good.
And that's,
I have a ticket on Baltimore to win that division.
You should. Everyone that wrote off Baltimore, and we told you, look at the schedule. They're going to get healthy. They've made some defensive corrections, and here they come.
Better old man hire for the Giants. Mm. Bill Belichick or Nick Saban?
My God. Well, it has to be Bill because Nick's never done it at the NFL level.
That's what I think, too.
But those are both terrible.
I mean, they're not going to happen. It's just...
No.
But Belichick, he had a press conference today for Wake Forest, and people are asking him about it. And then Nick Saban's linked to everything.
Yeah, everything.
But now they're talking about Nick Saban to the Giants.
I'll tell you right now that if the Giants hire either one of those guys, it just confirms that you're a clown organization. That's ridiculous.
Right. There are the world's fastest NFL niblets.
I like it.
Thank you so much. Coming up next, is West Coast college football being destroyed? Here's Schultzy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now to a, how should we say, a southern spin on what's going on with the Big Ten.
Okay.
Okay, Jace.
All right.
All right, Jason. You ready for this?
Let's do it.
I don't think you are ready.
JC Babes is ready.
Well, this is from a guy by the name of Joseph Goodman.
I don't know Joseph Goodman.
He is a sports writer.
Is he a hot takey guy?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, it's a column. It's an opinion column.
Okay.
He is a sports writer for AL.com, Alabama. Isn't that the Birmingham paper?
I think AL is an out. Yeah, I think that's the Alabama paper of record is like AL.com.
Yeah, I feel like that's from Birmingham, but I may be wrong. Anyway, it's they're in the South, okay? The dude's in the South.
Yes, AL.com is an Alabama website.
Well, I know, but I think it's in Birmingham. I think it's the Birmingham paper.
It just says Alabama local news, breaking news, sports, and weather. AL.com. It doesn't say it's from Birmingham. I think it's just the state. Might be like the Oregonian.
The Big Ten, here's what he writes.
Okay.
The Big Ten's war on northern aggression isn't going so well these days. War of northern aggression.
They've won two national titles in a row.
Makes more sense. Again, I'm telling you, this is the southern slant.
Sure.
Okay. That's what happens when most of the teams are trash and the conference is a forgery.
Okay.
The Big Ten is so bad, in fact, that Indiana, historically the worst power conference team in the history of the sport, can rise to the top of the league in two short years thanks to money and a good coach. And by the way, they are not the worst power conference team in the history of the sport. That was clearly Kansas State before Bill Snyder took over.
Right.
And since then, I hate to say this, but it might be my team.
Rock chalk.
He says, we call it the war of northern aggression in jest, of course. We have nothing but love for the Big Ten, bless its heart, even after it declared all-out hostilities against the SEC this summer. But the College Football Playoff Selection Committee has a problem on its hands going into Week 12 of the season and the second installment of its dubious rankings. There are too many good teams in the SEC, and the Big Ten is a fraud. In the SEC, a strong case can be made for six teams to make the playoff. That would be half the field. Now, let's do the Big Ten, which is always scheming behind the scenes. In no way should more than two teams from the Big Ten make the playoff. Here's the dirty truth about college football.
Okay.
The Big Ten's coast-to-coast power play is not working, and it is destroying the sport out west. Now, the Big Ten wants to ruin the playoffs by expanding the field to 24 teams and giving four auto bids to all the so-called power conferences. Why? It's almost like the Big Ten knows that its conference depth is an ankle-deep kiddie pool for the kids who never learned how to swim.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell us how you really feel.
No kidding. So what do you think about that?
I mean, I think it's easy to cherry pick it after 2 years, right? Like US.
Well, the Big Ten won the title last year, as you pointed out.
Big Ten actually won the title the last.
Oh, last 2 years.
2 years. Michigan, so yeah. Michigan won it the year before, and Ohio State won it that year. So, or last year. So I'm not certain how all that works. And Notre Dame, who's not part of the SEC, Notre Dame played in it in the year before. And 2 years ago, what team played in the national title game against Michigan? That would be Washington. So I'm not certain how you're making any sort of, like, if you want to say this year that the Big Ten is down, that there's three playoff teams in the Big Ten, that'll be Oregon, Indiana.
He said two.
Well, that's stupid because it'll be Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon.
He doesn't think much of Oregon.
Okay. We can think less of Oregon.
But, this is the SEC. They come up with new and creative ways to brag about having such great depth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a non-story. It's like, dude, we get it.
Yeah.
The SEC is really by far,
By
far, I don't even think it's questionable, the deepest conference in college football.
Yes.
And it's this way every year, generally speaking, every year. There are a few outlier seasons. But for the most part, you can't argue with Joseph on that.
You can't.
So what is his point? That the Big Ten isn't as deep as the SEC? Yeah, we knew that.
Yeah.
Nobody is as deep as the SEC. So I don't really, I mean, other than just trashing the teams in the Big Ten, like he thinks Oregon, Michigan, USC, Iowa, all those teams behind Ohio State and Indiana suck.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is we all know that they don't. Mm-hmm. But if he is saying that they're not as good as the depth in the SEC, well, he's probably right.
Sure. But also, how many
times do we need to go over this?
You're bringing up Indiana, but to his point, you want Vanderbilt to be in the playoff, and you're going to tell me that Vanderbilt has any sort of better record than Indiana does? I'd also like to point out to this dip-ass, That if we go on again, want to go back 2 years to the playoff when you're saying that everything was garbage. I do believe it was a Big Ten team in Michigan that beat, who was it? Oh, Alabama. And then let's see here. Washington, again, that other garbage team out west, they beat, who was it? Texas. And that Washington and Michigan both played in the national title. So if your argument is that the Big Ten sucks and that there's no good teams, I would like to point out that 2 years ago, two teams that you're calling trash beat marquee programs in the SEC, Alabama and Texas, to play for a national championship. And outside of you saying that this year you're the deeper conference, which every year you're the deeper conference, I don't understand where his argument is valid. I would love to sit down and talk with him because I don't think you can make a compelling argument.
Well, I think he can, and they do every year. It's just, why do we keep hashing this out? Like,
we all admit it, but again, yes, there's a difference between having an argument and saying that we're the best. No one's arguing that, but you're taking an argument that no one's arguing, saying you're the best, and saying that no one else is any good, and that's like it couldn't be more false. Again, there's been two of these. And the conference that you're crapping on won them both. And by the way, both years, guess who that conference went through to win? Your conference. This is the dumbest argument.
I think it's just that they have to, again, they have to come up with new and creative ways to say the same things over and over.
Yeah.
It's not just enough to say, man, SEC is really good and we're deep and we should have six teams in the tournament. Yeah. That's boring. Sure. That doesn't sell. What sells is, oh, the Big Ten's a fraud and it sucks and we're so much better.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing every year. We know that.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Big Ten's a fraud, but no, it's not the SEC.
No.
He goes on to say there are three really good teams outside of the SEC. They are, in order, Ohio State, Indiana, and Texas Tech. The College Football Playoff Selection Committee should put those three teams in the playoff and fill out the rest of the field with the best of the SEC, the ACC champion, Notre Dame, and maybe Utah. That means six teams from the SEC should make the 12-team playoff this season, and I can make an argument for seven before the Big Ten gets three. The Big Ten is a mess of mediocrity and gets worse and worse with every week. The SEC, meanwhile, resembles a miniature version of the NFL this season. Auburn, for example, is one of the worst teams, but the Tigers look just as good as the Oregon Ducks after last week's set of games.
What?
Oregon struggles.
Auburn?
Oregon's struggle win at Iowa was another pathetic display. The Ducks received a major boost in the polls after defeating Penn State back in September, but the Nittany Lions have literally lost every single game since then and fired their coach. Indiana came from behind against Penn State. Who cares? Penn State is terrible. Who has Indiana ever played? It's one cupcake after another up north. Vanderbilt would destroy the Hoosiers.
Okay.
And no one can convince me otherwise.
Well, this guy is just, you're a moron and you don't watch. I would like to point out that Auburn lost to Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Georgia, Missouri, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. They've won one game in 8 weeks. And yet, yes, they're better than Oregon. Sure, dude. You're just, guys like this, I have no, I don't know. It's one thing if you have a different opinion, but when you are just factually like stupid, like there's just no basis to what you're saying. I don't know why we give anyone like a second thought. I mean, it's just an ignorant opinion.
I think it's just guys like this that, and the Feinbaums.
Sure.
I don't even think Feinbaum does this really. He lets his callers do it.
Sure.
But there's something about the South and football that you have to, it's a rallying cry.
Yeah.
And you have to come up with new and creative ways to rally everybody to the call.
Mm-hmm.
And they love it. Yeah. They absolutely eat it up. Yeah. Things like this.
Like
it says, Oregon's best win is what? Iowa? Should the Ducks get in over Oklahoma or Alabama? If Alabama loses to the Sooners on Saturday and then Auburn at Jordan-Hare Stadium, very possible, then the Tide might be watching the playoffs from home. The College Football Selection Committee already has a tough enough job convincing the public that it's not just some kind of cheap marketing gimmick to sell ads on TV. One league is making that job harder. It's the Big Ten, a flimsy con artist masquerading in a muscle suit.
I would also like to point out that I really like Alabama. I think Alabama is a national title contending team, but Alabama got their ass whipped, and I mean whipped, by Florida State. So if you want to talk about how Oregon like may lose a game to someone like that isn't very good, or narrowly escape someone, I would like to point out that you lost 31-17 in an old-fashioned ass-kicking to a Florida State team that I believe has won 3, maybe 4 games. I mean, we can do this all day. Like, again, I can argue resumes, and I can't argue the fact that you have the best conference. I've said that for years and years. And it pains me sometimes to have to defend the SEC against, like, I think Dirt does this. I listen to their show a bunch, and Dirt loves to just, he refuses to acknowledge that the SEC is just better, and he's bitter and he's angry because of dip S's like this. But as ignorant as the argument that somehow Oregon or that the Big Ten is better than the SEC, it's just as ignorant to say that no one else, and you brought up, like, he brought up Utah again.
Yeah, Utah.
Like, really? Utah? I'm sorry. Like, I know BYU just got their ass kicked by Texas Tech, and I'm not saying that BYU belongs in the playoff. Far from it. But again, this is how ignorant this guy is. If you're going to bring up a team, Texas Tech dog walked the University of Utah. I mean, just bitch slapped him. And that was at Utah. Texas Tech also bitch slapped and dog walked BYU, right? Utah has 2 losses. BYU has 1. And BYU beat who? The University of Utah. But somehow, when you want to throw out another Big 12 team, like, you bring up Utah? Why? You haven't watched Utah play, and that's what, you haven't watched 1 second of this. You just haven't. And I think that's the problem, is a lot of times people don't watch anything.
Yeah, they just read stuff like this.
They just read stuff, and it gets thrown out, and it's
funny. I
think it's insulting to my intelligence.
A couple of texts here, 503-864-6326. They're pretty good on this. We'll get to those next to wrap up the hour on The Fan. All right, The Fan text line is 503-864-6326. SEC columnist guy, what'd I say, Joseph Goodman, I think?
Yeah. And by the way, that AL.com, it is statewide, but it is based out of Birmingham, yes.
Okay. Yeah, so it's kind of like Oregon Live.
It's Oregon Live, yes. It's their version of it.
So a couple of texts. The Big Ten beat the SEC in the playoffs. Who cares? What matters is that the 4th through 10th best teams in the SEC would beat their Big Ten counterparts.
Right.
Which is kind of what he's saying.
Yeah.
Problem is, that guy is probably getting praised, sung about how right he is in the South, so he doesn't feel wrong one bit.
Yeah. Well, we live in a world now where ignorant opinions are...
Well, he's just speaking to an audience, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Know? It's like, you can be as ignorant and as... just unintelligent or spew no facts whatsoever. They're not based on anything. But if it's what someone wants to hear, or exactly, it's controversial, then it somehow is viewed as you being smart and edgy and being bold. And I just, somebody else said
they also write for a really dumb audience. It sounds like a middle schooler wrote this for a middle school audience.
Yeah, there you go.
It does sound very dumbed down.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is probably why he's popular there.
We good, they bad. SEC great. Everyone else, crap. We good. Here, go, Roll Tide.
Yeah, this guy, Mississippi State, would run the Big Ten. Yeah, they think that.
Yeah.
But again, there's always, like, that's the hard part about this, is like, they're generally kind of right. It's just because you're better doesn't mean the other is trash.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, like, I mean, to a lesser extent, you can take a problem like Green Bay right now. If you take the NFL, Green Bay is spinning its tires, right? That was a bad loss last night. You're like, oh my God. Like, so if you're a Green Bay fan, you're obviously very, very frustrated. And you can point to a lot of different things about why you can be frustrated, right? Receivers being injured, Kraft being injured, guys dropping balls, Jordan Love regressing, O-line problems, Matt LaFleur. And there was a clip, Micah Parsons actually replied to it, but Colin went on like a 3-minute rant today about how Micah Parsons is not an impact guy. And, you know, Dallas was basically right to get rid of him, and he's a flashy player, but he doesn't do anything to stop the run and blah, blah, blah. And Micah Parsons was like, we're 6th against the run. We've lost every game. We've not given up more than 16 points. And it's the idea that, yes, there's problems in Green Bay, but you decided to go on a rant about the one thing that isn't a problem about Green Bay. Like, there's like 7 points you can make, and you chose to make the one point that makes no sense. Like, and that's the SEC thing. There's lots of good points to be made about what his argument is, but you decided not to make any of them. You decided to make the one argument that everyone would look at and be like, what the hell? But this is what we, this is the world that we live in. This is stuff that people are consuming, and it's just, it's crazy, and people get rewarded for it. And it just, man, maybe I got to get more, I got to get more extreme.
Take a few notes, fella.
I guess.
Pick up your game. What's the matter with you?
Like, how could you watch that game last night and be like, you know what the problem with the Green Bay Packers? I think it's their defense and Micah Parsons. Like, that's what you chose to signal out?
And well, yet, Barkley was running all over him.
22 carries for 60 yards.
Ah, what?
He didn't do anything.
What is this, facts?
He didn't do anything. It's insane. It's like, what? It's just such a weird. It's the same thing with the Oregon, the Booger McFarland, right? Oregon is not used to this weather. They're from Oregon. They literally just got done playing a game against Wisconsin where the weather was worse than it was in Iowa.
High-flying Oregon. Like,
what? Did you not? That's the sort of stuff that I'm talking about. It's like, you would think that when you have a high-profile job like that, you would have some responsibility to your audience to be more responsible, Seth Everett.
Or at least I'd just play it, but I don't have it.
Or at least just...
No drops here.
At least have a conscience. My God.
All right, the club is next. Talk about living your best life when we return.
Yeah, 22 carries, 60 yards. That's 2.7 yards per carry.
No, he was running all over him. I saw it. I was watching it. You got to watch, man.
I got to watch.
It's
sorry.
Not just about the
sorry.
Stats.
Sorry. I got to watch.
Don't be a loser. Yeah. No. Club next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.